This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and I'm really excited to meet a wonderful person, Julie Potiker, who is a certified mindful self-compassion teacher based in California and the founder and chair of the Balanced Mind Meditation Center. She has written a fabulous book, and it really is fabulous, guys. And we're going to hear all about it. And I don't know about you, but we could all use a little more mindfulness and calm and grounding these days. And Julie's latest book, she's written another book as well. The newest book is called Snap, From Chaos to Calm. And it's really just what the doctor ordered. Before we meet her, let me tell you a little bit more about her. As mentioned, Julie Potiker is a mindfulness expert who helps others bring more peace and wellness into their lives through her Mindful Methods for Life program offerings. And as just mentioned, her latest book is Snap, From Chaos to Calm, and it's great. And here's an interesting fun fact. Julie was a former attorney, and now she is a certified mindful self-compassion teacher and founder of the Balanced Mind Meditation Center in La Jolla, California. Hope I'm pronouncing that correct.
La Jolla.
I knew I was butchering that one. La Jolla, California. She began her in-depth study of mindfulness after graduating from the mindfulness-based stress reduction program at the University of California, San Diego. She was trained by, this is a famous name, Kristen Neff, Christopher Germer, and UCSD as a mindful self-compassion teacher. She went on to study with Rick Hansen, becoming a graduate of his positive neuroplasticity training professionals course. Julie also completed Brené Brown's Living Brave semester. And during COVID-19's shelter in place, Julie graduated from David Treslevin's Advanced Trauma Sensitive Mindfulness course. Additionally, she completed teacher training for the Mindful Self-Compassion Adaptation for Healthcare Communities and the Mindful Self-Compassion Short Course for teaching online during the pandemic. And since then, and I found this fascinating, she has added David Kessler's Grief Educator Training to her extensive certifications. She holds a Bachelor of General Studies from the University of Michigan and a JT, and what that means is a Juris Doctor, from George Washington University. Snap, as well as Julie's first book, Life Falls Apart, But You Don't Have To, Mindful Methods for Staying Calm in the Midst of Chaos, are both now available on audiobook. And by the way, I listened to it on audiobook in addition to reading it because I wanted to make sure I heard every word and I was so busy. So I did part of it in the car, part of it at home. And your voice is wonderful and it's wonderful. Julie's work has been featured by the Oprah Magazine, Costco Connection, AARP, AP News, NBC, CBS, Fox, the CW Network, and many more. Julie, welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Wow, that was such a long bio, and thank you. And thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. I always say, when someone has done that much, I think it's an important acknowledgement to state it. I know it's long, but it really lets the audience know who you are and that you've done a lot of work to get to this beautiful book. And it is a beautiful book, and it's amazing how I am utilizing the techniques from it. Really, just after one reading and one listening.
Coming from you, that's a huge compliment. I mean, I read your bio, which also goes on for an arm and two legs.
Thank you, Julie. So congratulations on your newest book, Snap, From Chaos to Calm. I really love the way you've interwoven your personal stories from your own life with poetry. I love the poetry. I know you have a poetry book coming out soon. You'll come back for that, I hope. And some great tips to show how regular meditation practice can really be as easy as a snap. And this is why this acronym SNAP is so easy to follow, guys, and so user-friendly. I've already incorporated it into my daily routine. Before we get into all of it, I wonder if you could just share with us how you went from being a former attorney to becoming a certified mindful self-compassion teacher and founder of the Balanced Mind Meditation Center. So just your journey into the study and practice of mindfulness and this beautiful practice.
The executive summary of that is that I didn't actually love being a lawyer. And when we moved from Michigan, where I was licensed to practice law, to California, I didn't take the California bar. So in America, you have to be licensed where you are practicing. So right then and there, I knew I wasn't going to be a lawyer anymore. I started doing nonprofit work. We moved to California with a toddler who's now 34 and a dad. I'm now a grandma.
I'm a grandma too. There's my grandma bracelet.
That was the best. Anyway, so when we moved to California, I got pregnant with twins.
Wow.
And I went on bed rest. And those girls are 30 years old now.
Goodness
so
gracious.
So during that period of time, I already wasn't a lawyer, but I think you're always a lawyer because it trains the way you think. So yes. When the kids were in middle school and I was really struggling, I was under too much stress. The wrong words were coming out of my mouth. I went to a neurologist. He cleared me of any nefarious thing in my brain, like a tumor, and said, actually, you have too much stress with your three children being adolescents and your parents having health issues and you being the only kid with boots on the ground for my folks. You need stress reduction. And he recommended mindfulness-based stress reduction, which was founded by Jon Kabat-Zinn in 1979. So that course was my on-ramp. I got fascinated by the brain science.
Yes.
And so then I started racking up other trainings. And mindful self-compassion wasn't even created then. It didn't come into being until 2010, which is when I took it. And then the teacher training was 2014. I'm in the first cohort. So, and then I started teaching it right away. But because, I don't know why, but I like adapting things. I like best practices. If I'm going to have a group of 12 people sitting in front of me, I want to give them the best of Rick Hansen and Dan Siegel, as well as Brene yes. Brown, and fold it into Chris Germer and Kristen Neff. And so yes. I've always been adapting the curriculum to get more bangs for your buck. And that's what SNAP is.
That's really, really fantastic. Can I ask you, and I know this is just a basic question, but everyone has a different definition of mindfulness. What is mindfulness for you? If you could just share with our listeners your definition of mindfulness.
I think about it as paying attention to what you're doing when you're doing it without judgment. Mm-hmm. So we're so wired to worry and ruminate because we're primates. That's what our brains do. And that's why the species is still alive, right? So to stop multitasking and time traveling, worrying and ruminating, you want to be right here, right now. I'm right here, right now, talking to Judy. I'm not worried about what I just said. I'm not worried about what I need to make for dinner. So I'm actually having a mindful conversation with you right now.
It's so lovely.
That's mindfulness.
And I love when you talk about worrying and ruminating. And I even love the way you've described, and I read this somewhere that, I don't know if it was in the book or somewhere else about you, that ruminating is what's just happened and worrying is about what's about to happen in the future. And you're saying, no, not the past, not the future. It's right here, right now. This is it.
And this has been shown by science to give your brain a break. So however many times during your day that you can do a mindfulness in daily life activity by just paying attention to what you're doing, whatever it is, walking to your car, making lunch, brushing your teeth, you know, whatever it is, dropping in and out of mindfulness all day, because you're human, you're not going to stay there. But just remember to drop into it. That's mindfulness.
It's lovely. One of your favorite practices is the gratitude practice. And I love how you've simplified it. I've never actually heard it said as well as you said it with these two questions. What am I grateful for today? Number one, what did I enjoy today? And what am I grateful for today? Can you tell us more about gratitude and the simplicity of how beautiful that is?
Okay, so gratitude has been studied for 60 years. maybe even more. There's so much robust research that if you have a gratitude practice, you will have well-being. And it'll be well-being in like 8 different areas of your life. So it encompasses your whole life, not just your health, right? So people say, write 5 things you're grateful for. I don't like that. It gets really
contrived.
Like contrived. And it's like Pollyanna, and it's a little annoying, and it gets boring, and it's stupid. And I just hated it. Yeah. And so one year I was in a class created by James Baraz called Awakening Joy. And they did these fabulous handouts, and it was on Zoom. But I have this big binder from it that I still look at from time to time. And it was his idea to answer those 2 questions. And so here's why I like it so much, Judy. You can be having a dumpster fire of a day. By all measurements, you're at a loved one's bedside.
Yeah.
You, I mean, it can be bad.
Yes.
Somebody can be, your mom can be dying. I mean, it can be the stuff that we go through as humans that's so painful.
Yes.
But when you think about what did I enjoy today, if you know you're looking for something, even in a dumpster fire day, it might be that nurse put her hand on my shoulder and smiled at me. Mm-hmm. It might be, God, my morning coffee was just the best. And the sun was out and the birds were singing. So if you're looking for a moment in an otherwise horrifying day, you'll find it if you're looking for it. And then what am I grateful for today? It might be just that noticing.
Yes.
And you write it down. And I need people to write it down. Don't just think it, please.
Yes.
Because there's brain science about writing it. And writing it down, I went to a lecture where there was a scientist, blah, blah, blah. I'm such a nerd. So I asked the question, so writing it is better for brain health than typing it.
Yes, I read that. Yes.
But if you can't write it, type it, because that's even better than just thinking it.
Right. Right. But that makes so much sense because it's the physicality of hand to heart to paper. Like there's something, you know, Shakespeare didn't write all of those plays and invent the 36 plots that he invented on a typewriter or on a computer, right? He wrote it. So yeah, that's beautiful stuff. And I wondered if one of those moments for you was when your mother passed away. And I'm so sorry about that and about your dad. But when you whispered Shema into her ear. You whispered those words into her ear. And I just thought, talk about taking a very scary, fearful, sad, upsetting moment of full of grief in your life and finding that beautiful moment that was so impactful. Can you tell us about that?
I'll tell you something else. This is going to sound, I don't know how this is going to sound. Let me just try it on you. The moment that she took her last breath, I had this feeling that I was one with every human at the bedside of their loved one taking their last breath. I mean, it was the most, I'm getting goosebumps now, it was like the most awe, A-W-E, inspiring touch of common humanity that I've ever felt.
Wow.
Yeah.
At the hardest time in your life, you had an awe-filled epiphany and moment.
Yeah.
And you gave her something beautiful as well.
And then I folded in, oh my God, look at the safety in the environment.
Wow.
We were clean and dry with a roof over our head and a nurse and my sisters. My husband was with my dad in the other room. We were home, not in a hospital setting. She wasn't hooked up to stuff. I mean, I thought about all the, I had so much gratitude for our safety. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people die in very horrible circumstances.
Yes.
And she died. I mean, I'm sure she wanted more time. I know she did.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the best way possible, if that was going to have to happen.
Yes. I never could find a better definition of gratitude than the one you just shared. Gratitude at the most difficult moment in your life, but it was one of the most beautiful moments. That's gratitude. That's fabulous. Thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure. I hope it doesn't upset anybody that's in fresh grief right now. Fresh grief is the first 3 years. Yes. I always thought it was 1 year. I'm glad I took the class because it's 3 years. Yes. So I hope that you take good care of yourself, listeners, if you're in fresh grief right now and that touched off something too painful. I'm sorry if it did.
You also have a wonderful chapter, Julie, in the book about grief. And I love that. I love that you've taken this SNAP method. We're going to talk about SNAP in a minute. The whole concept of how to use it and why SNAP is different from other mindfulness acronyms that people might be familiar with, such as RAIN and the many others that exist. But in your book, you share SNAP strategies for coping with anger, anxiety, grief, sadness, depression, shame, guilt, even political strife and disaster. And I love the chapter on grief. And I think a lot of people are looking for something like this because there's actual tools that you can use that will help you in the moment. It's not like you have to read a bunch of books and get through a million articles to be helped. So I so appreciated what you had to say and what you had to say about the caregiver as well. Let's talk about SNAP. So it's the title of your book.
Yeah. So it's an acronym for managing your nervous system. That's all it is. Yeah. And it's managing your nervous system when anything comes up that makes you feel bad.
Yes. So SNAP, soothing touch, S. N is for name the emotion. A is for act. P is for praise. As I mentioned off the top, I've been doing it ever since I've been reading your book, and it actually is a game changer. Can we break it down? Can you speak to the overall method itself? And then let's start with soothing touch and how it works.
Sure. So when I teach soothing touch, I do kind of a follow the leader, and I have people place two hands on their heart and then move one hand to their belly and then put both hands on their belly. I have them cradle their face. I have them hug their arms. I have them one hand nestled lovingly in the other in their lap, because one of these soothing touch spots is going to activate the mammalian caregiver response, whereby oxytocin and endorphins get released in your brain down into your body to start down-regulating whatever the problem is that moved you into fight, flight, freeze, faint. So whatever cortisol and adrenaline are coming up that feel, soothing touch is the first thing, and it starts the down regulation before you even have your brain really online. Okay. So you're mommying yourself. Yes. You don't need another, I don't need to say, Judy, hold on to me for 12 seconds. I feel really weird. I can, good job.
You can self-soothe. And isn't this what a mother does to a baby? You're doing it to yourself. Bingo. What happens, right? When you cradle a baby in your arms, you're doing exactly this soothing touch that you're talking about, but you don't need someone else to do it. You can do it for yourself.
That's the winner, winner, chicken dinner right there, is that you can do it for yourself. Because when a baby gets picked up, they get the release of those feel-good hormones, as does the adult. So when science figured that out and published it, the mindful self-compassion community was like, yeah, mammalian caregiver response. And so I had been teaching RAIN, which you mentioned, and it's in my first book, like in every chapter. And then I realized I was adapting RAIN, which is recognize, allow, investigate, nourish. People have been, well, it used to be not identify, and then it moved to nourish. But anyway, people have been doing that since the 80s, mindfulness teachers. And I realized I was doing soothing touch, front-loading it, and I was adapting it while I was teaching it. And then I'm like, okay, I need to come up with something new. And that's how SNAP came up. So
fantastic.
Soothing touch, name the emotion, name it to tame it. You've heard that. Most of your listeners have probably heard it. Name it to tame it, feel it to heal it. But what the other thing that naming it is doing is it's using up a couple more seconds because you want your prefrontal cortex behind your forehead to come online so that you can make a more skillful response. Yes. So you say that's grief, that's anxiety, that's fear, that's sadness, that's hopelessness, whatever it is.
Yes.
And then the A is, what do I need to hear right now? Which is your mindful self-compassion question. And you say to yourself, Julie, sweetheart, if you can stomach a term of endearment, it'll make you smile. which also shifts your mood. Julie, sweetheart, actually, there's nothing to be anxious about right now. You've got this. You're on a podcast with Judy. She's really nice. She's not scary. She's not chasing you. You're safe in your office. Yeah. And then part B of ACT is your toolbox. What do you want to choose to do right now to shift your mood? That's your power.
Yes.
And there's guys, 35 things in your toolbox, and they're not going to be the same as mine. Some of them might be walk outside, move your body, call your best friend. Some of them might be mindfulness stuff, breath work, meditation, mindful walking. But a lot of them might be like, put on Joni Mitchell, Carol King. You know what I mean? Like your list is going to be different than mine. And you're going to do things until you feel better. And then it folds into the praise for P, which is good job, sweetheart, or Baruch Hashem, or thank you, Allah, or Jesus, thank you for having my back, or, you know, whatever your deity is.
Yes.
And you've got the entire beautiful package wrapped up and you feel better.
Yeah. And you've done it on your own. You've become your own portable coach. What I love about this so much is if someone is really in crisis and they're waiting for a therapist that may not be available or for a coach or for somebody, they can actually become their own portable coach, their own portable mindfulness practitioner, and do this in minutes.
Right. It's so empowering.
Yes.
It's
it really
so
is.
Empowering.
It really is. And I wanted to say this later on, and I'm going to get to that question later on, but you have a toolbox list of suggestions that honestly is worth the book alone to get the book just for that suggestion later on in the book, because they're great. And they really, like, there were so many that I went, yes, 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 that works, that works. It's fabulous. You know, we're all feeling so much anxiety these days, Julie. And one of my favorite chapters is Snap for Anxiety, Mindful Methods for Anxiety in the World. And I even love the mantra that you suggest, which is, I am healthy and strong. I am safe. I will get through this. Whatever unfolds, I will be there to meet it. I am loved and appreciated. Can you say more about some of the other action tips that you can use when you're feeling anxious in that anxiety state? Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break and we'll be right back with more from Julie Pottinger. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio. I'm Judy Liebrack, and I'm here with Julie Pottinger. And right before the break, I was asking you, Julie, about some of the tips that you like to give people to help them manage their anxiety.
I think the first thing to do is to ground yourself, really. And then some of those mantras that whatever unfolds, I will be there to meet it. That's one of my favorite phrases. I mean, just saying that to myself calms me down. So anything that you can say to yourself, grounding yourself through the sit bones if you're sitting and the soles of your feet if you're sitting, or if you're standing, just the soles of your feet, taking a couple conscious breaths, anything that you can do to calm your nervous system. I mean, I do SNAP. Oh, I can't tell you how many times a day I do SNAP. And it depends what is going on in my life, of course, right? Like if I'm not having a huge amount of suffering, I might not need to use SNAP that day. But if you look at the news, you're going to need to use SNAP.
Yeah, sadly, yes. Even your breathing, you simplify it even with, and I'm a meditation teacher, so I teach a lot about breathing, but I just love how you've said, breathing in for four, you know, inhaling for four, exhaling for six.
Yeah. And by the way, Judy, it doesn't matter in my view, whether it's in through your nose, out through your mouth. All that it matters is that you're exhaling longer if your goal is to lower your heart rate and your blood pressure. It'll happen if you exhale longer.
Of course. And I love that you're not saying do this for 20 minutes. You're saying do a breathing sequence of three. Just inhale, exhale, and do it times three.
Yeah.
And that right away, and I honestly had a moment this morning where I used it and it took all of 40 seconds, whatever, a minute. And it was great. I even loved that you used mindfulness in a CAT scan machine and you held on to a stone. And I often have to take MRIs and I feel very anxious when doing so. What are some of the tips that helped you? That stone was really cool.
So I have to have an MRI every year because they're watching this little tumor that's behind my eyeball. You have the same thing?
I have it in my spine.
Oh, gosh.
In my lower spine. And do you have to do the contrast dye too?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, every year. No, I've changed my attitude. I've just changed my attitude about the whole thing because it's got to happen. So I'm not gonna make it negative.
Yes,
I'm gonna just be looking forward to the positive result that it hasn't changed enough to be a problem.
Totally.
But the here and now stone thing. I mean, I have stones. I have so many. I have five of them on my desk. I love touching these things because for some reason it feels cold. And then I look at it and I'm like, where'd this come from? And what is it? And wow, there's little ridges. And so when you're doing this, you're not worrying.
Right. Absolutely. It's
a brain hack.
It's such a good one, and I think you have some of these stones and these rocks. People can actually get them from you, or is that true, or did I dream that?
No, you didn't dream it. When I teach in person, I pass around a big basket of them and people choose their own. During the pandemic, I taught some small Midwestern college reached out to me. They had gotten my blog, the wellness. They got a grant. They wanted me to teach. I actually snail mailed compassionate self-compassion bracelets and stones.
Stickers.
Yes. To the kids.
Yeah. It's great. It's so great. Yeah. What is SNAP for equanimity? That sounded fascinating.
So equanimity is, this is really funny. When I first started teaching, I wanted my course to be called Equanimity 101. And everybody said, you can't do that. Nobody knows what equanimity means. And I said, but don't they really know what it means? Well, you certainly know when you feel it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And what equanimity feels like is sort of a deep keel of calm, all the while the current or storms are raging.
Yes.
You're not getting knocked over. You're not clueless. You see what's going on.
Yeah.
But you're not going to let it incapacitate you.
Right. Right.
And that's lovely. Really SNAP. SNAP does that.
Lovely. Oh, it's very empowering. It's very empowering stuff. You also talk about how to keep your cool in a danger zone. And I think this is important for people these days to know about that. Can you say more about that? How do you do that?
Well, I think it depends what the danger zone is. I mean, there's a difference between being aware and situationally aware, which I think is really important. And not being so hypervigilant that you make yourself want to throw up or have diarrhea.
Right. Totally.
So I'm Jewish. And right now there's tremendous anti-Semitism. And the rhetoric has radicalized people. The rhetoric in America that's been allowed as free speech has radicalized people. And now there's actual crazy people killing and harming completely innocent people, just if they even think they're Jewish.
Yeah.
So it's not crazy to be hypervigilant about that when you go into your community. I think you ought to pay attention.
Of course.
And you ought to make sure that there's armed guards and that they're wearing flak jackets. I mean, we went last Saturday night. It was beautiful. The 80th anniversary of our Jewish community center. which is where Balanced Mind with Julie Potiker is located.
Wow.
And, you know, you had to, your handbag couldn't be bigger than 4x6. You had to go through metal detectors. There were guys that looked like G.I. Joe all over the place.
Yes.
So I'm sorry that the world that has come to that, and it's caused me tremendous sorrow and fear.
Same.
And grief.
Grief.
Right? Yeah. And so I'm using Snap because I want to get out of bed in the morning and brush my teeth and live my life.
Of course. And live your life happily.
But this is also actually what's happening. Like, you can't say it's not happening.
You want to move through it because what are you going to do? And you want to pray and you want to stay hopeful and positive and do things that are going to make the world a better place. And they're going to make people better, which is what your book does.
Right.
And if everyone does that, maybe we can shift this. Because
I'm hoping that we can shift this, that we can each see the humanity in each other, and that we can stay in a place of coexistence and love and compassion, because there's a huge population of Palestinians and a huge population of Israelis that want to live together in peace.
Of course.
So those are the voices that I'm hoping get elevated. So anyway, it's a disaster.
This is a whole other show. This is a whole other series. And you can't have bliss with this, because this and bliss do not coexist. But what you're doing is helping create a space and a place for goodness and for humanity and for breath and for calm. I even love your story, Julie, about when you were in traffic and there was, by accident, you turned or you did something that we all do it. And believe me, I do it so often. I don't want to tell you. And you did it. And the guy went crazy and you used a Snap technique on him. Can you tell us about that? Cause that was so powerful. And you actually lowered his cortisol and you calmed him down. And I think he was aware of how crazy he was acting.
Right.
And he simmered down.
Yeah.
He settled down.
Well, I just kept saying, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You're right. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know, I made a mistake. I'm glad nobody got injured. And thank you.
Yes.
And then he was like,
yeah.
He didn't know how. Whoa, this woman's actually agreeing with me?
Yeah. It disarmed him, right? And it calmed him down.
Completely.
Because how wonderful. Like maybe there's a seed in that of, you know, how to deal with conflict. Like, you know, I don't know. But there's something to that story. You have to read the story to really get it. It's amazing. We talk about meditation and you talk a lot about Insight Timer in the book. And I know you're on there as a teacher, so am I. And you also recommend some great meditations. There was a 10-minute one you recommended that's fabulous, a 20-minute one that you recommended that's incredible. Like, I love this because people really need this kind of stuff. Talk to us a little bit about Insight Timer, how it started with 50,000 meditations. Now there's millions and categories and it's free.
Let me just tell you, in 2014, there were actually 52 meditations on there. And I remember having all my students download it. And my students are grownups. And I was like, I know it's overwhelming. There's 52. So what I like about Insight Timer is that they've categorized it enough that whatever your problem du jour is, whether it's sleep or anxiety or sadness or depression, and there's courses on there now, and however many minutes you want to donate to this wellness for yourself, it'll narrow it down and you'll find a slew of meditations that meet those needs. That's what I like about it.
Awesome. And your go-to when you're really stressed and you only have 10 minutes, if you have a favorite?
If I'm really, really stressed, I go back to a voice that is like Pavlovian for me. It's usually Chris Germer. So I'll look for him and I'll do a meditation.
Nice.
But I recommend people stick with it for 12 minutes just because the science says 12 minutes is sort of like the winning piece. And if you go to Balanced Mind with Julie Potiker, those meditations, there's hundreds of them, each with a poem at the end, they're more like 18 to 20 minutes.
Nice. You know, my go-to, and you mentioned him before, is Jon Kabat-Zinn.
Oh,
had this yellow DVD CD, Mindfulness Meditation for Beginners. And I could recite it to you now. I know it so well. The body scan and the meditation and oh my God, it's the best stuff. Sometimes people say they're too busy to meditate. I hear that all the time. How do you hope to change that by teaching SNAP?
Well, SNAP's not meditating. I mean, in your toolbox, if meditation is one of your tools, you'll meditate. But SNAP's not meditating. It's just managing your nervous system. But as far as being too busy to meditate, I don't buy that. Poppycock. If you want to meditate, you'll find the time. I used to do it in the pickup line, in the carpool line.
Wow.
So you can find, hopefully 12 minutes, but 5 minutes if you've never done it. You can find it and do it. Just put in the earbuds and follow the voice. I don't recommend open awareness because it is annoying unless you're a seasoned meditator. And open awareness is like you've got no prompt and you're just sitting there and nobody's saying anything. I don't recommend that because you're just watching your channels change and it can be annoying.
Right. I do a wonderful exercise with my clients as a life coach called the inner critic and taming that inner critic. And so I love that you have a chapter called SNAP for the inner critic and how to be especially, I love that word, especially nice to yourself. Can you tell us more about that? Because that's what the inner critic is. It's someone being mean and you've adopted that voice. So how does your exercise change that?
So in the mindful self-compassion curriculum, there's a unit on the inner critic. And in my first book, I take people through it step by step. And I actually copy and paste my writing exercise so that they can see how I did it, which is a little bit too vulnerable. And now I don't know whether I would have done that, but I did do it and it's out there. So anyway, the inner critic is an early, as you know, early childhood caregiver, and you've internalized the voice. And usually, unless you had an early childhood caregiver that was abusive or neglectful, in which case I'm very sorry, but this would not relate. So don't listen to what I'm saying if that's your situation. So if you have a run-of-the-mill mom that's doing the best she can, she's going to fall short. Mm-hmm. So then when you become an adult and you've internalized this voice, you can do these exercises that are writing exercises to retire that voice. Mm-hmm. You can find your compassionate voice and you can say to your inner critic, you know what? I get that you tried to keep me from embarrassing myself. You wanted to keep the bar really high so that I would do my best or whatever it was. I appreciate you actually, in your unskillful way, trying to keep me safe.
Right.
I've got this now. You can stand down.
Nice. Nice. That's strong. That's powerful. You know, I know we talked about gratitude off the top, but I also love that you talk about keeping a gratitude journal, but not here are five things I'm grateful for. It's a little bit different the way you put it forth. Can you tell us about it?
Before we hear about Julie's awesome suggestions for her simple and powerful gratitude exercise, we're going to go on a short commercial break. We'll be right back, in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss with Judy Liebrack. And before we hear about Julie Potiker's incredible gratitude exercise, I just wanted to express my gratitude for our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. This segment is sponsored by Ashford Cleaners. Ashford Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it while always going the extra mile to make sure that you leave with a smile on your face. And they also offer you free pickup and delivery, so it's easy to keep your entire closet ship shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. You're the best. Julie, can you tell us about your powerful gratitude exercise?
It's the two questions. What did I enjoy today? What am I grateful for today?
Nice. And how do you think that helps if you do that on a regular basis? Does it change you?
It changes everything about your life. It'll change your health. It'll change how you are at work, how you are with your kids. It reorients you to a lens of gratefulness and gratitude. Mm-hmm. It changes your perspective. And there's 60 years of research that you'll be a happier, healthier person if you have a gratitude practice.
So great. You also write about, and we just sort of talked about this with the inner critic, it sort of dovetails having compassion for ourselves, self-compassion, as well as the world, and letting our hearts radiate love outward, which you call a bust your bra state of being. But that sounds fascinating. How do we get in touch with our compassion? Self-compassion.
So I'm a mindful self-compassion teacher. So that's treating yourself like you would treat a dear friend, right? So it's mindfulness, because you have to know that you're suffering to be nice to yourself. It's self-kindness and it's common humanity. Those are the three pillars of mindful self-compassion. And it all comes down to being nice to yourself, not necessarily to fix it, but because it's so hard. And then you'll find it usually does shift.
That's wonderful. You know, we have a lot of parents and grandparents listening. This is Zoomer Radio. So it's like 45 plus, although they say children of 10 all the way to 100 listen to Zoomer Radio. What are some snap tips for parenting? There's a big, big chapter on parenting.
You just need to slow everything down with parenting. And little kids can't manage their emotions. And they're modeling from you and they're mirroring your neurons, because we're primates. We're mirroring each other's neurons. We can't help that. Yes. So if you can be the calm one, you can defuse the situation.
Yes.
And if you're going to ramp up, I mean, you can, it's even true with dogs. When you're like a frantic mess, your dog is more frantic. And when you start to meditate, the dog usually lays down and goes to sleep. So I know it works with toddlers. I know it works with teenagers. You gotta be the one to manage your own nervous system to take the temperature down for everybody around you.
It even works with husbands.
Yes. Right. And sometimes you have to give yourself a timeout. You know, sometimes you have to close the door and say, you know what? I'm going to take 10 minutes in the bathtub right now. And I'm going to put in some bath salts and light a candle. And I'm going to put Carol King radio on my Pandora, on my phone. And I'll see you in 15 minutes.
So great. We are all suffering in the world right now. We're all going through a lot. And you have some wonderful tips on things like just how to up your meditation practice, how to create a joy list, make sure you get enough time to sleep and eat healthfully, eat well, stay connected with other humans, exercise. There are many, many more tips. What are some of your favorites on things that you can act on? So just think about SNAP, S-N-A-P, act on to feel happier and calmer.
Nature is a real big one for me, and I'm really into birds. So I don't know how it happened. Sometime in my 50s, I got into birds, and the Merlin app has me. So it's this app on your phone, and it has a recording. I mean, you push record, and you're listening to all these different birds, and it'll pop up, and it'll say, that's a song sparrow. That's a house finch. That's a grosbeak. It's so fun knowing who's singing.
Nice.
And then I started writing poetry about who's singing. one of my big joy things is birds and nature, and also swimming, aqua jogging, you know, being in the sun, using my body, listening to music. That's like three bangs for my buck right there. And I try usually to do things that maximize the time I'm spending to my mental health and well-being.
So great. One of mine is yoga, and I've been so busy. And I finally this weekend went to a yoga class, and it just was like I don't know what it is, just being, it was just like yoga, like that ad, but being on that mat, coming back to your body, to your space, to just that inner peace and well-being. I don't know. It just was the end. It was so great. And
you gave yourself a gift and you made a really good choice.
Yeah.
So that's your power.
Absolutely. And you've talked about how there's wonderful tools in the toolbox. And even though you, I don't know if I, this was in the book or I read it somewhere else about you, that you said someone suggested you should call it toy box. And you said, no, because toy box, and I want you to explain why you said no, but you say that tools will help you, really help you, because they're things that have worked for you. And you have this mindful method toolbox that's brilliant. And I said this earlier, but I'm going to just reiterate this, is you've got these wonderful tools at your fingertips in this book, Snap from Chaos to Calm. And I couldn't get over them. But can you tell us why you said no to toy box and why you said toolbox is really the right way to call it?
I can't 100% remember. I remember the person saying it. And I remember me thinking, no, these are my tools. Like, these are created by me, for me, to help me. I can do it with a lot of joy, but it's got more teeth or more leg than a toy.
It's a toy.
A tool. It's a technique. Right. It's a tool. It's, you know, and at the beginning of every workshop, I have people free associate with a pen and paper a joy list.
Nice.
And I give them many minutes and they write and write and write and write. And I say, now this is the beginning of your toolbox.
Wow.
When you learn mindfulness stuff like meditation and breath work and mindful walking and mindful eating and whatever, any of those things that you like, you'll add them to that list. Mm-hmm. But this list is your toolbox, so that when you feel bad and you don't know what to do, you look at it and say, I can do that right now.
Nice. So good. So good. So I also love the loving kindness meditation, and I often do it on my show and I do it with people. And I'm wondering if you could lead us in, and I know you've done it, 20-minute meditations, 10 minutes, in a 2-minute, a mini loving kindness meditation.
Sure.
Even a little bit. And then maybe end with one of your beautiful poems, because your poetry is so meditative and calming.
Okay. So a little mini loving kindness meditation would be, let's close our eyes, or a gentle downward gaze, if that makes you feel more comfortable. And we're going to start by taking 3 nourishing breaths, in for 4 and out for 6. This is just a signal that you're about to do something else. You're about to meditate, letting your breath find its natural rhythm now. And just do a little mini body scan, relaxing from the top of your head, down your neck, relaxing your shoulders, your rib cage, releasing your hips, relaxing down both legs and your feet, moving back up to your shoulders to relax down both arms to your hands. Taking a hand or hands and placing them on your body where you find it soothing. It might be your heart or your belly. You might be cradling your face. You might be hugging your arms. Just a moment here of soothing touch. Your breath is easy. And dropping down now, just listening to what it would feel good to hear right now. What you want, what you need, into a word. Is it hope or faith or healing, courage, calm? And you're going to breathe that in on particles of healing light with normal, easy breaths, and then just let it go. Breathing in what you need and exhaling it for others. Breathing in for you. Breathing out for others. Couple more breaths. Letting the words go, feeling yourself in your breath, in your body, and listening to the words of this short poem. It's called Joy Has Four Legs, Doesn't Ask Permission. No one told them about wars or the price of eggs. Mutts and purebreds of every flavor run without hesitation, as if the world has always been this open, this forgiving. Wellington leaps and sprints with every dog chasing a ball. Madeline rolls her old bones in the wet sand. One black lab charges the waves with a frisbee in his mouth. Another digs fiercely, sand flying above his head, both entirely certain of purpose. Just now, just wind, just sand and salt and the miracle of tails wagging. Nothing in them resists. This is how healing looks. Wild, sandy, and grinning. Opening your eyes and coming back into this space.
That was so beautiful.
Thanks. So that was so fast.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. Thank you for that. There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show, and of course, we're going to ask it to you. I'm feeling the question right now. What is bliss for Julie Pottinger?
Love. Self-love. Love for others.
Yes. It's so funny when you were saying, think of a word that you want to meditate on. And you mentioned a bunch of words, and the word I thought of was love. And now you said it. So it's, yeah. Because it's because love, I don't know if you remember the book at Neil Donald Walsh. I'm trying to remember the name of it right now, but he talks about love combats everything. Love combats fear. Love combats anger. Love combats depression. Love is everything. The title of that book, by the way, is Conversations with God. And it's all about love and how love cures everything.
I think that's why we're put on earth.
Yep. Yeah, we just all have to remember that. And there's really one language for love. Like, we all have it. We all have that capacity. So there is hope. And you've brought it to us with this beautiful book. Julie, what is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and get a copy of your beautiful new book, Snap, From Chaos to Calm?
I think just go to my website, mindfulmethodsforlife.com. There's a resource library in there. So it's not just my books, it's all my teachers' books too, and their websites and their newsletters and any book that, even if they weren't a teacher of mine, that I thought is good in this genre is in there.
That's so great. And you're writing a poetry book. Will you come back on the show when it's done to read us some poetry and tell us all about it? I would love that. What's been the best part of going from being an attorney, a lawyer, to doing this work? What do you love the most about what you do?
I feel like this is a calling, like it's a spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And it's helping people manage their lives. And so there's a ripple effect that goes on for each person that manages better, everybody around them benefits. And so the whole bar of humanity gets raised. And I just feel so grateful to be a part of it and to be in kind of a chain of teachers going backward 3,000 years and going forward. And you're doing the same work. You're that, I mean, I don't know how you feel about it. I imagine by your nodding and smiling that you feel similarly.
Yeah, you're totally helping
people manage themselves.
Yeah. Anytime it gets to be too much, I remember that. And that's what keeps me going. We've been doing this show for 6 years, going on to our seventh. And yeah, it's...
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a real honor to have you, Julie Pottinger, on the show today. I was determined to do this interview, and I just knew it. I knew that it was meant to be, and I'm so grateful.
I am too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Each week, we spotlight a fabulous person like Julie Pottinger, who is living their bliss and helping others do the same. So if you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, therapist, life coach, actor, dancer, singer, really anyone who's found their bliss and is following it, we would love to hear from you. We also love to feature singer-songwriters or musicians on the show. If you're a singer, please reach out to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you find your passion and purpose if you don't know it already. Gain clarity, get unstuck. Reach out to me at findingyourbliss.com/coaching. I, like Julie, am also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. But I want to plug Julie Pottinger, who has lots of meditations on this free meditation app, Insight Timer. It's fantastic. Where you can find it is
a podcast. So it's the podcast app, and you just search Balanced Mind with Julie Pottinger.
Awesome. I love that. And as well, of course, you can always find us and follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would love to thank our wonderful guest, Julie Pottinger, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, Associate Producer Chelsea Lockstedt, Producer Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, Audio Engineer Juliana Yanitsiello, Senior Editor Lauren Kaminsky, Video Editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, Audio Producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. And also to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.